when the time was right. When the time came, God sent his son, born of a woman. The word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Christmas, the celebration of the birth of God's son, who came, as his word says, when the time was right. 5 days to go. I wonder how many of us could do with a few more days before Christmas to get everything ready. How busy are you? The town has been so full of people because it's nearly Christmas. The post box at the one stop was jammed full the other day because it's nearly Christmas. The roads, the railways, the airports are gearing up for masses of travellers and traffic because it's nearly Christmas. You can't escape that fact wherever you are. There are some countries where Christmas isn't a formally recognised holiday. But even in non-Christian countries, people are getting ready to celebrate. The most expensively decorated Christmas tree ever costs over £7,000. And where do you think you could see it? It was in a predominantly Muslim country. In the UK alone, over the Christmas period, over £18 million will be withdrawn from cash machines. 25 million Christmas puddings will be eaten. 120,000 tons of potatoes will be peeled and roasted. And 10 million turkeys will be sold. And what about us? What about you? Are you busy? Are you ready? I heard about a mum who, like many of us, was really busy getting ready for Christmas. She had so much to do. The family were all coming to stay, so the house had to be cleaned and all the beds made. There was the shopping to do, the gifts to wrap, the tree to organise and decorate, meals to plan and prepare. Maybe, she wondered, maybe I could persuade my husband to help by writing and addressing all the Christmas cards. So she arranged the cards, the envelopes, the address book, and the stamps on the table, and encouragingly said to him, "Why don't we get these out of the way?" Her husband looked at the piles on the table, turned around and walked off to his study. She looked daggers at his back. She heard a drawer open and bang shut, and he returned with a pile of cards stamped, sealed, and addressed. "These are last year's," he said. "I forgot to post them." "Now, why don't we go out for dinner and relax?" When the time was right, just over 2,000 years ago, God sent his son, born of a woman. 255 babies are born every minute across the world. That's over 360,000 every single day. And the time had come. The very first Christmas, it was the right time for this special baby, this baby Jesus, to arrive. At that time in history, the Greeks had conquered much of the world, bringing their language to many places. So everyone understood some Greek. There was a common language to communicate the news. The Romans held power and had built roads across their empire, so travel was possible in a way that it hadn't been before. The time was right. The news could spread. God had planned and purposed a long sequence of events, and he used a pagan dictator, a pagan government, and a pagan decree so that Mary and Joseph made the journey from Nazareth and Jesus was born in Bethlehem, just as his prophets had foretold. It didn't happen by chance. God had planned it since men and women went their own way and tried to manage life without him, rejecting his love and friendship. Now God wanted everyone to know. The time had come. The time was right for God to live among us. I heard the account of a little boy who was frightened one night during a big thunderstorm. Terrified, he called out from his bedroom, "Daddy, I'm scared!" His father, not wanting to get out of bed, called back, "Don't worry, son, God loves you and will take care of you." There was a moment of silence. The little boy said, "I know God loves me, but right now I need somebody with skin on." Father Damien was a priest who worked in Kalawao leper colony. For 16 years, he lived amongst the lepers. He learnt to speak their language. He bandaged their wounds, embraced the bodies that no one else would touch, brought hope and friendship to people who would otherwise have been left alone. He organized schools and bands and choirs. He built homes so that the lepers could have shelter. He built 2,000 coffins by hand so that when they died, they could be buried with dignity. Slowly, it was said, Kalawao became a place to live rather than a place to die, because Father Damien offered hope. Father Damien did nothing to separate himself from his people, the lepers. He ate with them. He shared everything. He bandaged their open sores. He got close. And for this, the people loved him. Then one day he stood up and began his Sunday service with two words. "We lepers..." Now, he wasn't just helping them. Now, he was one of them. From that day forward, he wasn't just living in their colony. He was like them. He was in their skin. He had chosen to live as they lived. Now he would die as they died. Now they were in it together. One day, one Christmas day, God came to earth and began his message, "We lepers." Now he was one of them. Now he was in their skin. He came down to earth from heaven, we sang in that first carol. Christmas. When God became human and made his home among us, God with skin on. Christmas, when the time was right, when the Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood, when he, God, came down to earth from heaven and the most amazing invitation went out to the world, to everyone, to me and to you, to walk through life on earth alongside God, friends with him, just as it was in the beginning. Our 20-month-old granddaughter and her parents stayed with us last night. Saying goodbye this morning, her mum encouraged her to give Granny a kiss goodbye. She turned her face up towards me, but we didn't connect. We couldn't. She's smaller than me. So what did I do? I knelt down to get to her level. There's over 4 foot difference in height. So to both give and receive our expressions of love, we had to be at the same level. There was no way she could reach my face, but I could go down to hers. God, knowing we could not reach him, came down to earth from heaven to express his love to us, to enable us to connect with him. Making connections these days is so much easier than when Jesus was born. Email, Skype, post, phones that go everywhere with us and can be used at any time. But as anyone who has friends and family living far away knows, all the technology available doesn't enable the connection that a kiss or a hug or simply holding hands means. As parents of children and grandchildren living far away, we know the pain that separation brings. And as another parent said to us, Skype is helpful, but you can't hug a computer. You need to be really close to feel love. God longs to connect with us. He understood and felt the pain of separation between us and him, and he did something about it. He came to live amongst our joys and our pain, amongst the good and amongst the mess. He came as a baby, born of a woman, because he loves us and yearns to restore the friendship with him that he designed us for. And why? Because of his great love for us, for you and for me as individuals. The Bible tells us that God knows every day of our lives, and his longing is that we should spend every day alongside him. God's intent was to restore the connection between us and him. The gap that had existed between heaven and earth, the gap that only love could fill, was bridged that first Christmas night. That's why he came, God himself, as a baby. One Christmas Eve, a man sat in reflective silence in front of the fire, pondering the meaning of Christmas. There's no point to a God who becomes man, he mused. Why would an all-powerful God want to share even one of his precious moments with the likes of man? And even if he did, why would he choose to come as a baby and lie in a manger? No way. The whole thing is absurd. I'm sure that if God really wanted to come down to earth, he would have chosen some other way. Suddenly, the man was roused from his quiet thinking by a strange sound outside. He went to the window and saw a small gaggle of geese frantically honking and aimlessly flopping about in the snow. They seemed dazed and confused. They dropped out in exhaustion from the flight flock on its way from the Arctic islands to the warmer climes of the Gulf of Mexico. Moved to compassion, the man tried to shoo the poor geese into his warm barn, but the more he shooed, the more they panicked. If they only realize that I'm trying to do what's best for them, he thought to himself, how can I make them understand my concern for their well-being? Then this thought came to him. If for just a minute I could become one of them, an ordinary goose, and communicate with them in their own language, they would know what I'm trying to do. And suddenly he remembered Christmas, and a smile came over his face. Suddenly the Christmas story no longer seemed absurd. Suddenly he pictured that ordinary-looking baby lying in the manger in Bethlehem, and he knew the answer to his Christmas problem. God had become one of us to tell us that he loves us. God came as a baby to invite us to gaze in wonder at him, to see his willingness to be vulnerable, to realize how he can now identify with us in the challenges of life day by day. To know he both rejoices with us and suffers with us. God himself came down to us so we can fully know the love of God in our lives. That's the wonder of Christmas. That's a surprise that God himself, the creator of all things in heaven and earth, visible and invisible, should be born as a human baby. It's the start of life with God, Emmanuel, God with us. There are no hoops to go through, no formulas to believe, simply an invitation to gaze in wonder at baby Jesus, who holds his hands out to each one of us. To see in this baby in the manger the greatest Christmas gift ever, the immense, the immeasurable, the inexhaustible love of God for you and for me. And to receive it, to bend towards him because he has come down to us, come down to our level so that we can connect with him.